WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I have released my World Cup scarf into the abyss in Fells Point. It'll be on the wall at Sláinte. Had a great conversation down at Sláinte. Got stood up by Terry Hazeltine. If you see him, let him know I'm looking for him. He knew I was looking for him last week. The soccer thing is over with. The Lamar Jackson press conference, but not the conversation, is over with. And the thing we have left now, of course, is your Baltimore Orioles. And that's a good-looking visor that they would have given away had they shown up over the weekend. I want one, Luke, so make sure you're staying on that. And in the meantime, I know it's going to be very hard to with the pitching being the way it is, but to get you interested in this. But I'd love to run you on a Nasty Nestor bus trip to the Bronx on Friday so we can get a Nestor Cortez shirt. What do you think?
You know what? I saw you post that, and I'm not surprised. I figure you would already have your tickets on your way to the Bronx, and go figure. Nestor Cortez.
Don't make me go to New York on a Friday in the spring, man. Don't do that to me. I'll do it.
Go figure. What a story that is, though. I mean, and you know, we won't belabor it too much because, I mean, let's face it. When he was a Rule 5 pick for the Orioles, he didn't show anything to say that he was going to become this guy. I mean, the Yankees let him go multiple
times.
Dude,
I just didn't want the only guy whose name was ever Nestor to have an ERA of infinity.
There you go. Well, and now his career mark is much, much, much better than that. So, but quite a story. And I mean, that's why, as frustrating as it has been watching the Orioles, I mean, especially the last 5 years, but really go back the last 35 years, with a few exceptions, but you live for stories like this. I mean, that's why Cedric Mullins was such a great story last year when we talked about the fact that he was only a couple years removed from being demoted to Double A. And then you see him starting in center field in the All-Star game. So, I mean, these are the stories. It's why we love sports. I mean, it really is. So there you go.
I've never worn anything with the New York Yankees logo in my life. In my life, I've never done it. If somebody gets me one of these shirts, I will wear it out. I mean, I will wear it in, wear it out. I will wear that shirt if somebody gets me one. So there are 18,000. I told Dennis, right, because I'm wearing my Coons Ford logo here. It is presented by Ford. And I said to Dennis, I'm like, hey, man, if there's ever a time the Ford Motor Company needs to come through with something Yankee related, it will be the Nasty Nestor. And I love the fact that he's got that mustache going on. If I had one, it would have the little Geddy Lee soul patch, I guess. I don't know. But how are our Orioles doing, Luke? They're winning some games and providing Don Mohler with excitement every third day that he seems to thinks every day. But about every third day, good things happen. A little bit more than that lately. And step up, step in. Tell me what's going on, because last I heard, their number one prospect pitcher is not coming.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really more than anything a statement of just how low they had fallen over the last few years. And I saw Nathan Ruiz of the Baltimore Sun tweeted out after Sunday's win over Tampa Bay, the fact that the Orioles had reached 30 wins in 68 games, which, okay, it's 30 and 38. It's a pace to go, 71 and 91. We're still talking about a 90-plus loss team. But that's not in the historically terrible, woeful, miserable 108-plus loss kind of territory that this team has been in going back to 2018. But he actually did the math, and 30 wins in 68 games so far this year, entering Monday's off day. But go back even just a year ago, it took them 92 games to get to 30 wins. 2020, of course, the pandemic year, so they didn't get to 30 wins because they only played 60 games on the season. 2019 took them 96 games to get to 30 wins. And then the topper, or I guess it would be the very rock bottom, of course, was 2018. When they got to 30 wins finally, their record was 30 and 74. So it is a reminder. And again, I want to stress that we're not lowering the bar too much here in terms of just seeing the improvement they are making, which they're making improvement. I've said this over and over that they're playing better baseball, but they're certainly not there yet. They certainly have a long way to go. But when you do remind yourself that final Buck Showalter, Dan Duquette year, that they didn't get to 30 wins until they were already 44 games under 500. I mean, that's just, it's pretty incredible, right? I mean, it does remind you that, okay, eight games below 500 when you're approaching late June, nothing to write home about whatsoever. Still bad in the context of looking at the entire league, but looking in the context of where this team has been in recent years, it's good to see. Again, a lot of work to do. And you know, the one area that I continue to look to and just brace for the bad impact is the starting rotation right now. You know, we already mentioned Grayson Rodriguez. He's not walking through that door until September at the earliest, and most likely next year with the lat strain. We know John Means is on the shelf with Tommy John surgery. Jordan Lyles was scratched on Sunday with a stomach bug. And I mean, they've just had a lot of different things like that going on. Oh, yeah. Bruce Zimmerman sent back to AAA because he struggled so mightily.
Yeah, I was disappointed with that. I was talking to Stan the Fan at the at the soccer press conference about him because he got sent down, right in that period of time when we lost the World Cup last Thursday.
Right.
And I said, that's kind of a shame. And, if you can't get it done at the big league level, I don't think they're done with him. I think they expect him back after the 4th of July, right?
But it just speaks to, it hasn't gone great in terms of, and we've talked about this. I wrote about this before the season started even. That crop of mid-20s starting pitchers that had kind of been around, the guys that were really disrupted by the pandemic in terms of trying to finish off their development, say at like AAA back in 2020. But we saw this last year. I mean, Zimmerman was kind of the one bright spot, but remember, he got hurt in June and we didn't see him again until really late in the season. But going through the list of guys, Dean Kramer, Zach Lowther, who Lowther was recently designated for assignment, so it kind of shows where he's been. He struggled mightily at AAA even. But you go down the list, Keegan Aiken, who's doing better in the bullpen now, but certainly did not work out as a starter. And kind of that last wave of Duquette era pitching prospects, guys that weren't critically acclaimed around baseball, but at least a group of guys that was interesting enough to say, okay, can one or two of these guys be in the back half of your rotation?
Which Kramer's you need one of those guys too, coming in the trade, right?
Right, right. Oh, exactly. So, and he's kind of right now, you kind of look at what's gone well for their rotation recently. I mean, Tyler Wells, who has been really impressive. Statistically speaking, he hasn't struck out a lot of guys, so that kind of worries me from a long-term standpoint in terms of him keeping this up. But hey, he's pitched well for them, and give him a lot of credit because other guys haven't pitched well. But you have him, and then Dean Kramer, since coming off of the IL, of course, he had the oblique strain warming up in the bullpen, the third game of the season down at the Trop. He's pitched well, and that's been good to see because we mentioned Zimmerman. Kyle Bradish, who we all remember had that brilliant start in St. Louis, that feels like a long time ago because he is really, I mean, he's been bad since then. He has a couple innings at a time where he pitches well, and just, fastball command, fastball movement, probably not where it needs to be. I mean, he throws hard. He can hit the mid-90s. He's got a good breaking ball, but a fastball is pretty straight, and if he's not locating it perfectly, it gets hit. So, again, not writing these guys off. This is what you often see. I mean, we were just mentioning Nestor Cortez. Nestor Cortez, what he is right now, he certainly wasn't that, even going through the minor leagues, let alone talking about doing it for the best team in the American League. But it takes some time with some of these guys. But you're really hoping, because I've mentioned this, I've written this, you and I have discussed it at different points. Even if you're totally assuming and right to assume that Grayson Rodriguez comes back and will be right physically, DL Hall will get called up at some point as we get deeper into the summer and he's ready to go for next year. John Means, let's say he's back by May or June of next year, on a Tommy John surgery timeline. Okay, that's three guys. And don't get me wrong,
team this time next year. And it's okay to dream that. That's sure what we should be thinking about right now.
Sure.
Right?
But I would also say you still need more depth behind those guys, right? And we can't just assume they're going to be all-star caliber pitchers overnight. I mean, this takes time. Even for the best, it takes some time. So that's where, in the meantime, you'd like to see Tyler Wells continue what he's doing. You'd really like to see Dean Kramer, who was just awful last year, continue what he's doing, which has been a much more representative starting pitcher, giving them a chance to win. So
Kramer's also a guy that didn't get a chance to pitch when they have a 60-game season. And
right.
I mean, it screwed everybody up. I mean, he was a guy trying to ascend, to your point. And I think it really affected pitchers a lot more than batters. You could probably get in a cage and keep some timing together.
Yeah, I mean, it was very difficult. And again, you don't want to get too caught up into that because every team dealt with that. But when you are talking about a team that was in the midst of a rebuild, yeah, it's going to impact you. There's no question about that. But that's where it's been encouraging to see Kramer show a little bit of a pulse as a major league starter again after having a 7+ ERA last year. I mean, he was awful last year. And they kept, he kept getting some opportunities because, frankly, they just didn't have enough people to give them innings. So, it's been good to see that. But still, you look at this rotation right now and you're just kind of holding your breath. And that's why it has been such a tribute to their bullpen for what they've been able to do. And just the fact that this team has remained so competitive because, let's face it, over the last month or so, they haven't gotten very good starting pitching whatsoever. I mean, statistically, it's been pretty ugly. But it's at least been good enough to keep them in games. And Brandon Hyde at times is trotting guys out there from the bullpen that you don't even recognize because it's someone they just claimed on waivers a few weeks earlier or someone that was at AAA and they're just calling them up. And
that'll be going on all summer at this point.
Oh, no question. But the difference
there's 10 more guys that are going to get the ball we haven't heard of yet.
No doubt. And a few guys who aren't in the organization right now who are going to get the ball inevitably because it's a long season. But
they're looking for their own Nestor Cortez.
Sure. But to their credit, they've had guys that have done a nice job for them. And that's been good to see. And I mean, you do it against the Tampa Bay Rays, they just won another series. So, you look at them since they've been playing 500-ish baseball for quite a while now, which again, I don't want to do cartwheels over that. That's not the end game here, but it does show some semblance of progress and they've done a nice job in the bullpen. We've seen them make some excellent defensive plays. I mean, how about Odor's play late in the game on Sunday where the tying runs at third base and just makes a fantastic, kind of flip, bounce throw to Mountcastle at first. That was very impressive. So you're seeing better defense overall from this club. I think that's, we can talk about some of the individuals. I mean, say what you want about Mateo with the bat at, but shortstop, I mean, he can pick it, he can really play a nice shortstop for you and spectacular a lot of times as well. They're getting better defense. So that's helped them. The bullpen's been excellent, even though I am concerned about overwork in terms of as we get deeper into the summer. But they are playing a better brand of baseball, and I think it's important to recognize that. I think it's important to also recognize where they are, where they still need to go. But as I mentioned, as I gave you some of that information as far as reaching the 30 win mark, which it's not a milestone, a banner milestone, anything like that. But when you're talking about some of these teams that it was July and August that they were, needing to get into that deep into the schedule to get to 30 wins and to do it in the middle of June now, it feels a little bit better. And certainly anyone who's been watching this team on a nightly basis, you are tuning in and seeing a more entertaining brand of baseball more consistently, even if, yes, there are still more losses than wins. And I want to point that out and still point out that they have a ways to go here.
Luke is here. He is Baltimore Luke and Luke at WNST.net. You can follow him out on the Twitter and Instagram and the Facebook thing and all those places. He'll be vacationing next week, much like Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are vacationing, but the Orioles are going to be getting back after it. Saturday night, I didn't watch the game Saturday, and I've been around people the last couple of days just out shopping that are wearing clothing, coming back from games, families, that sort of thing, Father's Day. I saw a tweet, and it might have been from Ruiz, one of the people that covers the team that wasn't you, tweeted out, the bases are loaded for Robinson Chirinos. And I'm thinking, they probably lost this one. And I didn't know what they had done. I went back and I looked and I thought, Yeah. They're 300 at bats in now, right? I mean, we're getting up on the halfway, but I mean, we're literally, you're about to take your all-star break, Wildwood pizza run. Shout out to Mac, who was also my dad. At the halfway point, where are you on some of these guys and where are you on maybe trades happening in the next 6 or 8 weeks? Because we had talked so much about Mullins and Mancini and guys having value means to that's over with, but where they are on cracking the egg or rebuilding the egg or believing that, Mancini's a guy that's going to be here in 25 or 26 because he likes us and we like him and we're going to pay him a little bit and we need him because we can't replace him. You talk about replacing pitching that doesn't exist. Start getting rid of the guys like Mullins that had the kind of year they had last year. You take that out and then you take Mancini out. Then you're going to be replacing the lineup too around Rutschman too.
Yeah, and that's where this really lends itself to what I was just talking about, how you can't get caught up in falling in love with this current roster as it's currently constructed. Because again, let's keep in mind, as well as they have played over the last month where it's been more of a 500, you know, even 6 weeks, you know, where they've played more 500-ish baseball, that's still not going to cut it in the big picture, right? So you're still thinking about this with a long-term lens, you know, looking through that long-term lens. And that's where you look at this thing and you look at where guys are in terms of their contracts, where guys are in terms of their age. I mean, Trey Mancini's 30. You know, we're not talking about a young man here anymore. I'm not saying he's washed up and old.
But he is a big league player. He's their best player. He's been their best player for five. I mean, Mullins aside for a but I mean, as far, he's the best player on the team, right?
Well, I mean, Hayes has had their best. I mean, as far as what Hayes gives you all around, Hayes is probably, you know, he's been their best player.
He's also younger too, so he has more value.
Sure, okay, sure. But the point is, you're still looking at this through the lens of what is each one of these individual players, look at them, where are they going to be contractually? You know, where are they in terms of years of arbitration? Where are they in terms of free agency? Where are they in terms of, if you want to re-sign a guy, how much is he going to cost at that point? And most importantly, with that discussion, as it pertains to someone like Trey Mancini, where is he going to be as a player in 2024, in 2025, in 2026? We're talking about someone who is a first baseman, and I get it. They've played him a little bit out in right field. I think that's more to showcase him to potential trade suitors more than anything else.
Well, you don't need a National League team anymore.
Well, right. Sure, sure. I mean, he can DH more, and certainly there's first base, which he plays a solid first base. But someone who has very limited defensive value, what is he going to be worth in terms of what kind of player he's going to be 2, 3, 4 years down the road? And I think in the case of Trey, it's interesting to me because we've talked so much about, obviously, his story is fantastic. Obviously, the value he brings to the Orioles. But at the same time, I ask the question, what does Trey Mancini want at this point? Keep in mind, other than him having a cup of coffee at the end of the 2016 season where he came up, hit a couple home runs, he was on the wild card game roster, but of course, you know, was a bench player at that point. This is a guy who hasn't won. I mean, he's lost a ton. This guy fought, you know, the only victory he's really had in his major league career is over cancer. You know, I mean, really, when you think about it. And so my question there is not so much that I'm saying the Orioles should be looking to get rid of him, because I don't think he's going to bring back a whole lot in a trade. But what does Trey Mancini want? You know, I mean, is it a case where you have a conversation with him and you say, okay, Trey, you're at this point in your career where, you know, you're 30 years old, you know, certainly you have more time left in your career, but you haven't had a chance to win. In a best case scenario, we're still another year or two away from making things really interesting in Baltimore. So would you like to go elsewhere and for us to try to make a trade and get you to a team that has a chance to go to the postseason? That's the conversation that no one here acknowledges, because you know you're looking at it through the lens of an Orioles fan and saying, hey, you want to keep Trey Mancini around. So, you know, I think he's the interesting case in that regard.
Well, the lens I look at is nobody else is going to give him a Chris Davis deal either. If he hits the market, what is his value to other teams? He may, and I said this about Adam Jones at the end of his career here, you know, now that they're not speaking and whatever, he's speaking to me and not the Orioles, crazy, right? you know, there is a value for this bridging period that we talk about their payroll and where they are, that if you're going to pay somebody a little bit too much to hang around because you like them and you can't replace them and they don't have a better place and they really believe, maybe he's an orange Kool-Aid. Maybe he really believes there's a pile to be dived on here with Adley Rutschman in 25 or 26 and he wants to be around because he was around in the beginning. I don't know, but that is a great question for him. But I don't think his options are great either to go out and get a 5-year, $200 million cut, because that ain't happening. So if he is going to be sort of year to year into his 30s, the Orioles made mistakes here, in my opinion, over the last 5 years. And I don't think Brady Anderson was one of them, even though I'm on Team Lou. I would say that there are veteran players, and I've always believed in that. I believed in that for minor league hockey teams. I believe in that for the Ravens. And you and I went back and forth last week about the value of Josh Bynes and Tony Jefferson and guys who may or may not be able to play. But I think for the Orioles, where they are right now, you're going to waste a little money wasted on him. And I don't think it has to be wasted. I don't think you have to give him 3 years and $70 million. I don't think that has to happen. But you tell me where the value is. And certainly, for him, I still go back to this. They only have 5 or 6 major league baseball players, right? Like literally, that's where they add Rutschman into this, and he's you know, Mendoza right now for the time being. He's just a prospect, a very good one, but he's hitting 200. They have 5 major league baseball players, right? Santander, Hayes, Mancini's one of them. And with Mullins, yeah, this year on him, as we all knew, sort of a regression. I don't know that he'll be around when Mancini's not. I think Mancini might have more value to the 25 and 26 team as a 32, 33-year-old player than maybe Mullins will. And certainly contractually, Mullins may be a guy that somebody would give crazy money to.
Well, and that's, again, that's where you have to look at each of these guys individually. I mean, if you're asking me who I'd rather keep right now has a better chance to be more valuable to them over the next 3 years, I'm going to say Cedric Mullins, just because of the positional value, because he's younger. Even though he hasn't been as good this year, and I didn't expect him to repeat a 30-30 year. I mean, that's the first time an Oriole had ever done that.
Is this year good enough? I guess that's what I'm asking.
Sure. Well, but that's where you also look at this and say, okay, Trey Mancini is having a better year at the plate, but is Trey Mancini going into his early 30s, also knowing that he has very limited defensive value? What's that going to look like as opposed to Cedric Mullins? Even if Cedric Mullins is hitting 260 with 20 home runs and 21 stolen bases and, you know, an on-base percentage of 320, you know. So, I mean, that's why you have to weigh this. But I would say it's interesting you mentioned Josh Bynes and Tony Jefferson as you were just talking about the value of veterans. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Two guys who have left the organization and come back. Now, not saying that this would be my master plan, but if Trey Mancini does express some interest in saying, hey, you know, I'd like to, if there's a deal to get me to a contender this year, I'd like to take a swing at it. And I can think back to the Orioles bringing back Mike Bordick, bringing back B.J. Surhoff. Is there a scenario? And again, I don't want to just make this sound like I'm trading Trey Mancini just for the sake of doing it, because you're not going to get anything that's all that special. You're going to get a lottery ticket, you know, so to speak, for a guy who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
Get a used Leon Diaz.
But my point is, if Trey's open to that and would like the idea of being able to take a swing at it in October, then he's been through so much. Why wouldn't you grant him that? And even with the thought of saying, hey, you know, let's see what the market looks like this offseason and we could bring you back. So
I can see that scenario.
Right, right. And again, I'm not saying you bet on that.
That's not a benefit to the organization, to your point. That's a benefit to him.
And that's where I keep coming back to. I mean, we keep talking about this through the lens of the Orioles or Orioles fans, what they want. That's where I keep saying, what does Trey Mancini want? And Trey is a guy who says all the right things. He's a good guy. I've had conversations with him. I mean, even off the record, you know, he's not someone who's, you know, he's going to choose his words carefully in that way, because he does have an affinity for the organization and how they've, you know, how they've supported him, you know, through cancer treatment and all that. So, but at the same time, he understands it's a business and he knows, you know, he's been in arbitration the last couple of years and he understands how that works. So there's ultimately at the end of the day, there's only so much loyalty at work, right? I mean, even for the best situations, there's only so much loyalty, but that's where I say, you know, don't be, if I'm the Orioles, certainly I'm looking to move him if I can get something I like. But I would also say, you know, it's a case of if he has a chance to go somewhere and compete and that's something that's attractive to him, don't hold on to him just because you want to sell a couple more tickets in August and September. I mean, let's face it. They're not drawing many people even with Trey Mancini or with Cedric Mullins or with Anthony Santander. So from that standpoint, and also looking at where they have more depth in the minor leagues, which is positional depth and specifically outfield depth. You know, I mean, we saw Kyle Stowers in Toronto for a couple games. You know, he's a guy that to me will replace Santander or Mancini if they trade one of those guys. So, you know, it's a case by case basis, but I would still say, and this is why I tell everyone to pump the brakes on the optimism. They still got a ways to go. They're still in a mode where some of these guys that people get attached to, don't get too attached because they're still looking at this in a big picture sense and they have more and more outfielders coming in the system. So if you have guys that you can move like Santander or Mancini and get something decent for them and you know, you can clear a spot for a Kyle Stowers, then I think you go ahead and do that, even if it hurts in the short term. But like I said, Trey Mancini can go somewhere else and have a chance to contend, chance to compete, chance to play in October. I feel really lousy saying that the Orioles shouldn't do that because they should hold on to him if it's something that he's interested in doing. And like I said, you can pull the Mike Bordick scenario and re-sign him in the offseason if you really want to bring him back. And I think that's something Trey would probably be open to in the right situation.
Luke is here, and Adley Rutschman is there. You can follow the Orioles and follow Luke at Baltimore Positive, and of course at Baltimore Luke. The Ravens on a little bit of a respite here for a little bit. They'll be back in a month. Luke will be back in a couple weeks as well. I am around all month long doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill and Window Nation, where you buy two and you get two free. I'll be telling you more about that all month long. We are at Next Phase Cafe with Mayor Brandon Scott this week on Monday. On Wednesday, we'll be at Fadley's in the morning, and then we're taking the show back on the road. We'll be at Costas next week, and also moving out and about into the community. You can find the whole schedule at Baltimore Positive or anywhere that my social media travels as well. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.